First Chronicles 16, 8 through 20. This is David's song when the ark was taken to Jerusalem and placed in the tent there. You'll see quite a few resemblances to the passage we're going to be talking about today. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Israel, His servants, sons of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember His covenant forever, the word that He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that He made with Abraham, His sworn promise to Isaac, which He confirmed as a statute to Jacob, as an everlasting covenant to Israel, saying, 'To you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. When you were few in number and of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, He allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, "Touch not my anointed ones, do not do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord all the earth, tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and He is to be held in awe above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His place. Ascribe to the Lord, O clans of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, "The Lord reigns." Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Say also, "Save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name and glory in Your praise. Blessed be the God, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." Then all the people said, "Amen," and praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we look into Your Word today, Lord, I pray that our eyes would be drawn to You, that we would recognize certainly that You reign. You reign in the world. You reign in our lives. You orchestrate our existence. And Father, we recognize that today and we give You praise. And Father, I pray that we would grow, that we would gain understanding as we just simply look at Your Word and see what it has for us. And Father, we commit this to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we want to welcome you. It's good to be with you today. About everybody's here, it looks like. There's a few missing. I know John and Cindy are away and a couple of others that I don't see, but it's good to see such a big crowd. Some are sitting on the wrong side, but it's good to see the crowd. Well, as you know, we're going through a few of the Psalms, and so I'd invite you to turn to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. And we will read again. And you will see some resemblances to the passage that we just read. And of course, David is the author of both. "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of Your wondrous deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne, giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruin. Their cities you rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice, and he judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with uprightness. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples his deeds. For he who avenges blood is mindful of them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See my afflictions from those who hate me. O you who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may recount all your praises, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion I may rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk in the pit that they have made, in the net that they hid. Their own foot has been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed judgment. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. The wicked shall return to Sheol, all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men. Selah. Now, as we look at the Psalms, if you remember several weeks ago now, when we first began, I think it was in our introduction to the book of Psalms, we talked about the fact that these are intended for worship. This was written by David. It was intended to be put to music and to be sung as part of corporate worship, it appears. It's really a call to worship. This psalm is a call to worship, a call to remember, a call to praise. And I have entitled it "The Heart Cry of the Redeemed." And as we look at this psalm, I want us to worship. I want us to see Him. I want us to recognize Him for who He is and what He's done. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20, as we think about this psalm put to music, or this psalm sung in corporate worship, you know, I thought of passages that you are very familiar with. Ephesians 5, beginning of verse 15, it said, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." Listen, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Listen, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this psalm, Psalm 9, can be divided into two main parts. The first part is verses 1 through 12, calling our attention to the past works of God. And then in verses 13 through 20, it's a form of a prayer with an eye toward perhaps the future. The future. And then the first section can be broken down really into two parts, and the first being verses 1 and 2, and we're going to spend some time there today, and we will go through the other verses, but maybe a little more quickly. So I want us to look at verses 1 and 2, and it's speaking in general of past actions of God. And then the rest being more specific about what the Lord has done in the life of David and in the children of Israel. But let's look. General praise for all that he's done. Now, I'm going to give you an assignment that you're going to be called to turn in here in about 5 minutes, okay? So I want you to be thinking, because I want you to participate today. And I want you to be thinking of some personal things that you'd be willing to share as far as what wonderful works, wondrous works God has accomplished in your life on your behalf. Okay? Now, you just be thinking about that. Now, we always share our praises, what the Lord did for us today or this week. But I want you to share, I want you to think of your life, even as David is looking back at his life and in the life of the nation of Israel. And I want you to come up with some things that the Lord has blessed you with in your life. Now, I want to go back here to this, open my Bible up here, and in these first two verses of Psalm 9, let's read them again. He says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. First of all, he talks about the fact that he will give thanks to the Lord with his whole heart. This is something that was heartfelt in David when he was writing this psalm. He was thinking about all that the Lord had done, and it moved him. You know, we are told to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And here David is saying, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. There weren't any misgivings. There weren't any hesitations. He was boldly proclaiming thanks to God for all that he had done. And then he says, I will recount all your wonderful deeds. Now that is a big assignment. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds, he says to the Lord. And I want to first look at some of the things that may be on David's mind as he's making this statement. And some of those things that we will see in another passage of Scripture on the Song of Moses out of Exodus chapter 15. But we saw in what I read earlier at the beginning, we saw, you know, the things that the Lord has done. And we're going to look at some of the things that he's done. And when David, we will look at some things that are in David's past that he could give God thanks for. And we've talked about these. We studied through the book of Genesis and the minor prophets. But, of course, that was following David, I think. But some of the things that David would be praising God for if he remembered his wonderful works in general. Now, he's going to get specific here in a minute in verse 3 and beyond. But what are some of the things, do you think, that David, this is not your assignment, but did David give thanks for? And when we look back, and I just want to mention a few. I have about 15 here, and that's just a few. We could spend days doing it if we recounted all that the Lord had done in the world and in the nation of Israel up to the time of David. First of all, John spoke of it last week, creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Is that not a wonderful deed? Certainly it is. He spoke the world into existence. And John gave the demonstration of how vast the universe, even that little, probably small portion that we know about. If you were here last week, he gave the illustration, you know, with the two boys standing up here and just how far it is across the universe as we know it. Beyond our galaxy and other galaxies and far beyond. God spoke that into existence by the word of his power. And he did it in 6 days, by the way. He didn't do it in eons of time. He didn't need eons of time. He spoke the world into existence. And the heavens declare his handiwork. David could be thinking of this very fact, that God created the heavens and the earth, and he spoke it into existence. And he did it without effort or without losing any strength. The vastness of our world, he just spoke it into existence. This is the God that we serve. We will recount all of his wonderful deeds. And some other things that throughout the Old Testament, I'm just going to mention some of the highlights. What about the flood? We often think of his wonderful deeds as being those things which are things of deliverance. But how about his deeds of destruction? The flood in Noah's day, the destruction of the wicked, and also the saving of the eight upon the ark. God brought the floods and destroyed the wickedness. That's almost as big of a miracle. I guess any miracle, one miracle is no bigger than the other when it's impossible other than with God. But he brought the floods and destroyed the earth. And about the calling of Abraham and the promises made and the fulfilled promises in the Messiah, that through Abraham, his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. The selling of Joseph into Egypt. The scripture says that God intended it for good. His brothers intended it for evil, but God intended it for good. This was a mighty deed. He orchestrated this for the saving of Egypt from the famine. And they were taken ultimately into Egypt as an act of kindness. And there they became a great nation. They went in, what, is 70 people, something like that? 70-some-odd people into Egypt and came out, don't know, millions of people? They came out a mighty nation. And we see their deliverance from Egypt. And when David and when the children of Israel were recounting the past, they always talk about, it seems, the deliverance from Egypt. That's where the Passover comes from. That is the anchor point of their history when they were delivered from Egypt. And we think about the 10 plagues and the frogs and the flies and the gnats and the livestock being killed and the hail and the locusts and the darkness and the death of the firstborn, how they were delivered from these things. I just remember thinking about how the livestock were killed except those that belonged to the children of Israel. And I know that there was darkness in all of the land except in the houses of the children of Israel. And there are several of these accounts, these plagues, that they were separated and they were delivered. This is a mighty act of God in the past that he accomplished for his people. And of course, the parting of the Red Sea and the destruction of Pharaoh's army. Now I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 15, if you would. I was just looking at some things this morning, and this is the song of Moses after they had been delivered and had crossed the Red Sea. Okay? Now I want us to just read the first several verses of Exodus 14. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed graciously, gloriously. The horse and his rider has been thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like a stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. And he goes on. The Lord had done a mighty work, and David in Psalm 9 is remembering some of these things as he remembers all of the deeds that the Lord has done. And then also the provision of the manna and the quail in the wilderness, the giving of the law, not to mention the constant patience that he had with the children of Israel. In one way, this is a great and mighty deed. And then, of course, the entrance into the promised land and the defeat of the enemies that dwelt there and the people that dwelt there. Now, these are just a few of the deeds, the wonderful deeds in the past that David would have been referring to. And, of course, David, as a warrior, would have had many personal stories and remembrances of God's working on his behalf and his deliverance. Maybe even the killing of Goliath and the victory in many battles as the Lord delivered his enemy into his hands. Now he speaks of recounting all of his wonderful deeds. Now my guess is, as I said earlier, this would be quite a task. This would be quite an event to remember them all. And David, as a redeemed man of God, was proclaiming all of these things. Now, I want us to do something, as I assigned to you earlier. I want us to take a little time. There is no big hurry. I want us, as the redeemed people of God, to recount his wonderful deeds on our behalf. It could be any time in your life, and I want you to share them. It could be yesterday, it could be this week, it could be last month, it could be when you were a child. Tell me some things in which it is evident that the Lord was at work. But just a few things that I wrote down, and I'll go through them quickly. I actually put a few notes here, hoping someone else would share, but I won't intrude upon their space. But I have down here Spencer. I know some things that you shared on Facebook this week, just what a joy Spencer is. Or maybe it was last week, whenever it was. I was just thinking about our children, and Psalm 127, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with the enemies in the gate. So our children are a blessing from the Lord. They are wondrous works. Sometimes we wonder, but they are wondrous works. Salvation, of course, as was mentioned, he is the author and finisher of our faith. Preservation, both physically and spiritually. Dina mentioned preservation, preserving us. You know, every one of us could probably have testimonies of how the Lord has preserved us in our youthful stupidity. Bicycles at 40 miles an hour, down a hill on the handlebars with a friend driving, you know, no helmets, no anything. Motorcycles. Now, The Lord preserves us. The Lord preserves us for his time. Even though our days, here's what I like, since his days, Job 14:5, since his days are determined and the number of his months is with you, you have appointed his limits that he cannot pass. And of course, spiritually preserving us, Romans 8. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And of course, He provides for us. Now, some of the things just of mine, quickly I'll share. Plucking me, as some of you would testify to, out of an unbelieving home, and by His grace, converting me, showing me the gospel at the age of 18. A year later, bringing me my wife when I was very young and preserving us through it all. Of course, my children, opportunities to serve even though we are so inadequate. A warm and comfortable place to live, a job, fellowship with those of like faith. Good health, the Word of God, the indwelling Spirit, and the hope of eternal life. And today we just need to publicly acknowledge and recount that we have been blessed beyond measure. And God's works in our life are wondrous indeed. And He says in the last of that verse, I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. And we sing praises to His name. Now the rest of the chapter, I'm just gonna kind of let you slide on that. But I'm just going to. David gets particular about how the Lord in his past has crushed his enemies, and that some of those enemies, some of those nations are gone forever, because the Lord has judged them and has wiped them out. And then you see in the last half of the verse, really maybe looking to the future and what the Lord will do. And I want to tell you right now, the Lord will judge the nations. We don't have to. There is not a nation on earth that will continue to exist. There is one kingdom that will stand. That is the kingdom of God. There is one nation that will stand, and that is His people. We are told that we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession, that we might proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. David spoke of a future day when judgment will come. All unrighteousness, and I may be going beyond a little bit what he's saying here, but all of the evil in our world, all the nations that exist, will be done away with. And he will reign. His righteousness will reign. In his last two verses, he says, Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together of fellowship and looking into your word, and I pray that you would make it so real to us that we cannot help but recount your wondrous deeds. Father, be with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.